The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan Subscribe and Drive. No deposit, no compromise, no fuss. Find out more at nissan.ie.
And this is The Hard Shoulder. Kieran Cudahy with you until 7 o'clock this evening. I am holding a book in my hand and it's the latest in the William Warwick series. It is called Over My Dead Body and the writer is one Jeffrey Archer. Jeffrey, you're very welcome to The Hard Shoulder. It is good to talk to you as always. And I do want to talk to you about the book in just a moment. But I am conscious that you and many others will still be mourning over the death of David Amos, the MP, a man I'm sure you would have known very, very well.
Very fine man. You'd have liked him, Karen. He was one of those sort of, he was a jolly fellow. He loved most of all. He loved being a member of Parliament. He didn't, I never sensed in all the years I knew him that he was either, he wanted to be a minister or was unhappy that he hadn't been made a minister. He looked upon himself as a constituency man. And if you walk the streets with him, as I did in elections, some people, when you walk the streets, they don't know who the member is and they don't know his name and they don't recognize him. With David, they would shoot up in droves to thank him for this and thank him for that. He was the consummate member for his constituents and they loved him for that. He really was, dare I use a cliche, but really was a man of the people.
Yeah, it's quite clear as well, listening not just to you talking about him, but others in recent days as well, just how popular he was. Well, not just amongst his constituents, but in Parliament as well.
Yes, on both sides of the House. He had one of these joys that when he wanted to get something done, he didn't mind who he talked to, which party he was dealing with, as long as he got the damn thing done. He had so many really worthwhile causes, but then he would occasionally approach you for an individual problem with a constituent. I don't think there was anyone quite like him. He was indeed unique.
And of course, his awful death has shone a light, I suppose, on the treatment of politicians and politics and how people view politicians and the regard or the lack of regard in which they hold them these days. I mean, let me ask you this question. If you were a younger man now, would you get into politics?
Well, when I entered the House 50 years ago, at the age of 29, these sort of things would never have crossed one's mind. The one thing about David was you couldn't imagine anybody wanting to harm him. I mean, it comes into my mind now, he was harmless. And so why would anyone want to do anything as evil and dreadful as that? The answer to your question is yes, I fear that I am a political animal, Kieran, and would want to do it again.
I mean, it does give you pause for thought, though, doesn't it? The idea that a constituency clinic, as we call them, or constituency surgery, has to be held with a police officer at the door.
Well, I hope what I hope will happen. I've been listening very carefully to what people have been saying. Number one, I think you have to check every name on the list. I think if David had had 15 people coming to Leon C that afternoon, he'd have known 10 to 12 of them, and he'd have also known what most of them were worried about. But if there's someone on the list that he doesn't know, and that his agent doesn't know, and that the local councillor that he works with doesn't know, then I think, I'm afraid, in future you will have to send the name to the police and see if there's any reason to be worried. That's number one. Number two, and he'd have hated it, I think we're going to have two people in the room with the Member of Parliament, probably the agent and a local councillor. And that, I'm afraid, is going to have to be the case. And number three, I think it's already happening. Wherever you are conducting a surgery, you would have to inform the police where and when. I will be at the Methodist Hall at Leon C between the hours of 10 and 12, so the local police know. But what age have we reached, Karen, when we're even discussing this?
I was just going to say that, like, it's probably necessary, but it's lamentable, isn't it? Because one of the great criticisms, or one of the great pieces of fuel that's used in the fire of populism is that these politicians are different from the rest of us, that they're somehow other, they are the elite, and they don't understand what the person on the high street is going through. And this would only make it worse. You can see why it's necessary, but it would only feed into that, wouldn't it? That, you know, you can't access that politician unless your name gets run through a police database.
Well, I quite agree with you. That is sad. And as I said, David himself would have hated it. And he would have hated you even suggesting that he didn't have contact with his constituents. Mind you, I must say as well, Kieran, which would interest you with your love and interest in politics, he was a consummate House of Commons man. He actually loved democracy and believed in it. And he believed that, yes, you help your constituents, but if you've got the opportunity to do it in the House of Commons, that is a great privilege. Indeed, I defy you to find a question to the Prime Minister or a Secretary of State where he doesn't mention Southend-on-Sea or Essex. He fought for his constituency night and day, and I was delighted when the Prime Minister announced yesterday that his long-term campaign to make Southend-on-Sea a city has been realised.
Because I think a lot of people on this side of the pond, Geoffrey, as well, won't have necessarily heard of David Amos. And it's probably because he was never a government minister. But I understand, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, because you would have known him. I understand just from reading about him in the last few days, he had no interest in a cabinet position. He always just wanted the constituency work.
Well, that's very interesting because you say that with an air of that must be rare. When I entered the House in 1969, that was common.
Okay.
Many people coming back from the Second World War were serving on the back benches, and they literally described it as giving service to their constituents. That has become less and less so. We now have a much more professional breed of politicians who enter the House hoping to hold high office. And indeed, there's nothing wrong with that. You need that in a democracy, but you need it leavened as well. And that's where David did the job. And there are still a handful, I don't think it's much more, a handful of people who enter the House and say, I never want high office. I want to serve my constituents. And I think the biggest thing in my life is being a Member of Parliament.
Well, listen, David Amos is well remembered by you and by others as well in recent days. And you speak very well of him. And of course, our thoughts with his wife and his five children as well, surviving him. Back to the matter at hand and the new book, William Warwick, again, the focus of the latest edition, Over My Dead Body. I'm holding it here in my hand, published by HarperCollins. What rank is William Warwick at now?
He's now reached Detective Chief Inspector, and he's been put in charge of the murder squad. And the commander, Commander Hawke, has asked him to solve four unsolved murder cases, because the commander feels that if someone gets away with murder, they might try and do it again. So you're quite right. It's going to be a different rank every book and a different crime every book. Over My Dead Body is murder, and in particular these four cases, which you will find are linked in a way that I'm not willing to reveal. And there's a twist, I hope, that will take everyone by surprise.
Listen, it's a great read. And he started off, for people who are wondering, William Warwick, he started off as a Bobby on the beat. And I understand from we spoke the last time, you told me he's going to end up as the boss at the Metropolitan Police. Is that right? That's book number eight.
Yes, you'll start right. You're quite right, Karen. Number one, he leaves school and joins the Metropolitan Police, much to his father's chagrin, because his father wants him to be to go to Oxford, read law, become a lawyer, join him in chambers. But he defies his father and becomes what you call a Bobby on the beat. And in the second book, he deals with drugs, and he's a detective sergeant. In the third book, he's dealing with police corruption, and he's a detective inspector. And now he's reached detective chief inspector, and he's doing murder. But you're quite right. Assuming I live long enough, because I'm 81 years old, he will become a superintendent, a chief superintendent, a commander, and yes, the commissioner. William will become the Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police.
I don't want to things to take a morbid turn, but is that something you think about when you're planning an 8-book series? How old you'll be writing book number 8 and whether you might actually be alive?
How old are you?
I am 38 years old.
Exactly. You wouldn't give it a second thought.
No.
I'm 81. So, of course, I have to give it a second thought. But yes, I do. And I'm very determined to. I'm enjoying it so much. I'm enjoying William Warwick. Every book is an individual story. You don't have to read the series. You can come in where you like. And I'm enjoying it immensely. But I can't predict that I will live to 86.
Well, I wish you the absolute very best with the book, as with the others. It's a great read, Over My Dead Body. As well, all the money you're going to make from it, though, you're going to give away. You're giving away the fortune. Is that right?
Well, I've reached a stage also where I have to prepare. And so I've been collecting art all my life, other things. And Mary and I have decided now is the time to dispose of some of them. I actually live to work. So I'm not interested in a yacht or a plane or living abroad. I just want to be allowed to finish these 8 books.
And that's it. I mean, you want enough money to see you through that and to the end of your life and no more.
That's quite enough, thank you. And I've had such a wonderful, privileged life and been so lucky to have a gift to tell a story and enjoy it as well. I'm quite satisfied, thank you.
So where's all the money going?
None to you, Kieran.
This is the slow build-up.
A personal note in the will. Nothing for Kieran.
Well, listen, we wish you the best of luck with all of that as well, Geoffrey, that conundrum and what you do about it. And again, the best of luck with the book. And we will talk to you. What is the next rank after Detective Chief Inspector?
He will become a superintendent and he is going to move in to a very tricky area because he's moving into royal protection.
Ah, bit of royal intrigue for fans of The Crown and everything else out there. Geoffrey, a pleasure as always. We'll talk to you again.
Thank you very much indeed.